I'm here in New Delhi, Hastinapur, at our Radha Parthasarathi Mandir. In fact, I'm just looking out the balcony. It's just a little hazy, but the Baha'i Temple is probably a half mile to my right. And it's very pleasant here. Of course, the weather is much drier than in Mayapur, and cooler. It was quite fresh this morning, going to deity greeting, and then Guru Puja and Kirtan. And now, as mentioned yesterday, I'm heading to meet Radha Krishna and Manini and Manjwali for some shopping and strategizing on Radha Shyama Sundar's Archana. And as usual, I've got pigeons galore over here on the balcony. If you've ever stayed at the guest house in New Delhi, then you know what that's like during the day, and what it's like also at night when they're making all kinds of pigeon noises. I'm referring back to some questions that they have from July, and here's one very good one from Manjari Devi Dasi, and she's asking the following: could you please explain Srila Prabhupada's statement, religion without philosophy is sentimentalism and philosophy without religion is mental speculation, and what definition of religion and philosophy is accurate here? I'm sure devotees have heard this statement often. They've probably quoted it themselves. And it's a relevant thing to analyze the definitions of these words in light of the actual text itself. I don't know if Srila Prabhupada has directly analyzed what the words mean, but he's certainly given an explanation for this very useful quote. Let's start off with what's sentimentalism? Sentimentalism is just that you have a sentiment, but you have only sentiment. Sentiment, of course, is in its best form born out of some real strong and valuable faith. Without one is no faith at all and it's just emotion, then that's really a dangerous thing. So, but sentiment alone, if the faith is in itself not guided by true philosophy, and here when we talk about philosophy, then that means the teachings of the scriptures, the holistic, comprehensive teaching of the scriptures, then that religion or faith, call it emotion-laden faith, then it becomes simply sentimentalism. So religion here means shraddha, shraddha accompanied by real emotion, if not directed and fortified with siddhanta, scriptural conclusion, then it just becomes sentimentalism. And we see that there are many scriptures, many religions in which people have very, very strong faith and they express strong emotions, yet their philosophy is illogical. It doesn't follow strictly the teachings of scripture. And therefore it ends up being sentimentalism, and that sentimentalism is really wreaking a lot of havoc in certain parts of the world and has caused the lives of many people over the centuries. On the other side, philosophy, what's the meaning of philosophy over here? Philosophy without religion is mental speculation. Of course, mental speculation, we know that there's two types of speculation. There's mental speculation, in which the foundation is and the authority of thinking, of the thinking process, the process by which you try to understand things in a rational, logical way, is solely the mind. Do I accept it or do I not accept it? And philosophical speculation is when we use the statement of scriptures to analyze thought processes. And if things are logical and reasonable according to the statements of scripture, then we accept that as the basis for what we think is right and we think is wrong. When that type of philosophy is lacking in religion, and I'd already referred to this earlier, when one's faith and emotion, when one's shraddha and bhava are not directed by gyan and vigyan, siddhanta, maybe even a better word to use, then that type of reasoning process is mental speculation. It's dry. Philosophy in itself, no matter how logical, is not enough to protect a living entity from the onslaughts of material attraction. Krishna says that param raso varjam raso pyasya param drishtvani vartanti. People must have some rasa. There must be some taste in the execution of religion, and philosophy must be wed with some kind of spiritual experience. If it's not connected with a spiritual experience that gives you a higher taste than the lower taste of sense gratification, then one will fall back down again into sensual enjoyment. Aruya krichina param param tata. So if philosophy isn't wed with this type of religious tradition, then it becomes mental speculation. And then there's another perspective to this philosophy, another definition of philosophy. It may be based on scripture, but it doesn't embrace the full, the complete conclusion of Shastra. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti shabdati. There are three aspects to the Absolute Truth. When someone just embraces one aspect of the Absolute Truth, say the aspect of Brahmeti, that the Absolute Truth is Brahman, and rejects Paramatma and Bhagavan, then that type of selective philosophy will again not give the type of spiritual experience that's required in order to transcend the attraction of the material energy. So their philosophy may be scripturally connected, but in a selective way, and doesn't base itself on the full direction of the scriptures. And then, of course, this Aruya Kuchrena Parampara refers to the Mayavadis, who only want to accept one aspect of the Absolute Truth, one interpretation of scripture, a limited, incomplete, incorrect interpretation of Siddhanta, and therefore they remain mental speculators. They don't really experience the bhav or the mood of what real religion is. A nice example of that is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encountered the Mayavadis, converted them by scriptural argument, and then ultimately engaged them in chanting Hare Krishna. And when they were chanting in that